I certainly hope it's clear that God loves you, and we're certainly glad you're here. And there's three of us in the studio, and I'll introduce my special guests in just a moment. But it's Monday. It's April 30th, 2012, the last day of April. So we're just about to say goodbye, April. Hello, May. And what's unique about May, especially the first Thursday in May, is each and every year we've had a practice. I don't know how many years. Maybe, Bill, you can answer that in a couple moments. But it's the National Day of Prayer, something that, thank you, God, for some of the presidents or whoever initiated this some years ago, that first Thursday in May, it's the National Day of Prayer, and many churches and communities gather together and pray. And there's a couple events happening locally. I know some churches are having unique services, but there's going to be a special National Day of Prayer gathering in Urbana, and we're going to talk about that today, along with the topic on prayer, something that all of us can grow in and practice more often. And I think it's been Billy Graham and many senior saints that have said, you know, I wish I would have prayed more. And you think, Billy Graham would say something like that? Isn't he, like, very, very spiritual? Yes. But he, like most pastors, like most people I know, everyone knows the importance of prayer and the power of prayer, but seldom do we practice it as passionately as all these other things. So we're going to talk a little about this because of an individual that initiated through some emails and some conversations with me in the past and said, Mark, I'm helping again put on the National Day of Prayer, facilitating a gathering, and are you going to be talking about it much in the days ahead? And I said, well, Bill, come on into the studio and bring that lovely wife of yours, Donna. We'll see if we can be a catalyst to encourage people to show up this Thursday and maybe get involved in their own prayer circles, their own churches. So, Bill, thanks for being available. And I know, Donna, you've already stated that you want to be behind the scenes praying up this program, but let's share your lovely voice with our radio listening family. So good morning, Donna.
Good morning, Mark.
And Bill, thanks for carving out some time. And you were doing some preparation for this broadcast, and I know you have a number of scripture verses that you're going to share throughout the program on prayer. But maybe before we get into our topic of prayer, share a little glimpse into your faith story, because it's always great to hear how people were drawn to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and entering into that relationship with God. So do you have a little snapshot where you can explain some of your faith journey?
Well, yes, I do, Mark. Thank you. Actually, my faith story involves prayer. When I was 18 years old, I had strayed far away from the Lord. I was raised in a Christian family, but my parents were really praying for me, and I remember that my dad got together once a week with a couple of his friends to pray, and he was praying for me. He was praying for the community, praying for people to be more aware of God in the community. He prayed for me along with his friends, and I came to the Lord, and it was quite an experience. I actually came back to the Lord on my dad's birthday. So,
And what age are you at this point when you're coming back to the Lord?
I was 18 years old.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you knew your dad was praying for you. Now, what was that like from your point of view at the time?
Well, at the time, I was not surrendered to the Lord, so I knew what he was doing. I believed it was true. It was threatening to me because I knew that if I would respond positively to what he was telling me, I'd have to choose who was going to be in control of my life. And so it was a big issue of surrender. And finally, the Lord won out, and his love won out. I remember even going to the meeting where I finally said yes to the Lord. On the way, I just started crying when I realized the people that I'd hurt, and the Holy Spirit was just doing a real work in my heart.
I'm sure your dad probably treasured that as one of the best birthday gifts he ever received. But what was that turning point? Was it the message? Was it the scripture came alive? Because there's probably a number of listeners that maybe are in that same point in their faith journey right now. They know there's a God. I mean, it's kind of hard with the creative capacity of God, with the handiwork, with just what we see in the world, to know that there's got to be something behind it. There's got to be some ultimate kind of meaning, some kind of God. Most of our listeners are very familiar with that faith journey, walking with God, surrendering to the Lord Jesus Christ. But what was it that was the catalyst where you said, okay, I really need a Savior. I need to surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ?
I think I knew in my heart what the truth was. I read the Bible when I was very young, and I had a very good knowledge of the Bible and of the gospel. And I knew that the life that I was living at the present time was not in accordance with the scripture. I knew that if I would die, I would be separated from the Lord. I really felt that in my heart. But yet the grip of the lifestyle I had was too great on me with my friends in high school and everything. I couldn't break away. But God's word was in my heart, and I think that reeled me in. You know, even though I had taken out a lot of line, he reeled me in. And then when I came back to him, I was ready to fully surrender, and his Holy Spirit just really did a work at burning those things out of my life. And after that, I didn't have the struggle to break away from it.
And thank you, God, for parents, in your case, for your dad and others that were praying
very
for
much.
You, probably that small group and the many times he shared that prayer request with others. And prayer is just so necessary, so foundational, so fundamental to our Christian walk. And it's one of the things that I treasure, I think, most about this radio ministry, because we have so many senior saints and even young children that pray daily or on occasion for the radio ministry. And we kind of see that as the undergirding of everything we do when we make decisions. I pray, oh, Lord, you know, hear the prayers of the saints. Help us be an effective ministry. Help us stay in the center of your will. And I rely on and I relish how many people write us and say they pray. So, well, thank you, God. And then how did Donna come into your life? And I don't know if this will entice Donna to maybe say a couple of things, but Donna's also in the studio with us. In case you just joined us, I have Bill Erickson, and he's a part of a special gathering that's coming together this Thursday in honor of the National Day of Prayer. And it's a special event that's being held in Urbana. And we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. But Bill and Donna Erickson have been married for how many years? Oh, come on.
Jump up. She can share a little bit.
23 years.
And what drew you to Bill at the time?
I bought a house.
Oh.
And there was a tree that needed to be moved, and so a mutual friend suggested I call this landscape architect, and he said, oh, Don, and he's single. And I said, I'm not going to marry him. I just need his advice. But obviously, as you know, we were married and have three beautiful kids.
And Bill, was it love at first sight when you were looking at the landscaping? I take it you were looking at more than just the landscaping when you showed up that day.
Yeah, it was, and I was very impressed. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, you've had a heart for prayer. I don't know if it's that your father handed that down, that tradition, that pattern, that practice, but I've known you for a number of years, and I know many times in April you've talked about, are we doing something for the National Day of Prayer? Or I've known you've been affiliated with prayer groups and gatherings. And so what do you want our listeners to gather or glean from today's interview?
I think one thing would be that we understand what God's purposes are for the church and what his intention is. I do have some scriptures for that, and we have to understand our call before we can pray with fervency. In Ephesians 3:10, the purpose of God is so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. And that's going to be through his church. And the victory that Jesus Christ won on the cross is going to be fully manifest through his church to the world. And God is going to receive the glory by how his church comes out in victory in the end.
So an application is the importance that a church needs to be a praying church. The people that attend church services need to pray more than just during that time on Sunday when they gather as the church body.
Yes, very much so. We're called to be warriors for God, to bring his kingdom in. And Jesus told Peter, when Peter confessed that Jesus was the Christ, he said to Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. That is his plan for the church. We are not going to go out with a whimper. We're going to go out with great victory, because God has determined that.
And through our efforts of praying, actually through God's power that's unleashed, that's that mystery. I mean, God is sovereign. God is all-powerful, all-knowing, omnipotent, omniscient. He's God. He's awesome. He's beyond words. He's beyond our wildest dreams. And yet he still desires us to pray very specifically even. And somehow through that process, there's power that's unleashed or his plan is fulfilled. It's kind of a real mystery, but prayer is something that you've seen God answer and you know is important. And even that scripture verse that the gates of Hades, the gates of hell will not prevail because the church has been planted by God to press his kingdom, power, influence, and authority in all realms of influence.
Right. And I think we really don't believe it as the church. Mm-hmm. We don't believe that we have this authority and we have this calling to fully consummate the purposes of God on this earth. Mm-hmm. And of course, Jesus Christ will return to rule and reign on the earth. But we have a job to do in the meantime to bring his glory into the earth. And in Isaiah 60, it says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. Darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples, but the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you, and nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." And that's talking about a time of darkness before Jesus returns, where we will arise as the church and shine in all of this darkness. And I believe we're approaching those days, if we're not in them already, where darkness is covering the earth, but the church is going to arise in this end-time victory that God has determined. Mm-hmm. And prayer is the big part of it, to see his purposes accomplished in the earth.
You've hinted at it and made a suggestion that it doesn't seem like people get that excited about prayer for a variety of reasons. Why do you think that is, that we don't just have thousands or hundreds show up on Wednesday night for prayer, or why every church doesn't have very specific mm-hmm. rooms for prayer or gatherings for prayer? Why are we negligent, if you will, in that area?
Right. I think it's because we don't grasp what God's kingdom purposes are. Mm-hmm. He hasn't captured our heart enough yet with his purposes in the earth. And when he does capture your heart finally with that, you will want to pray those purposes because you will want to see him glorified in the earth. And our prayers have to be more than just prayers for our own well-being, for our success, you know, and even, you know, minimal success in our evangelistic efforts or our church efforts. Our vision has to be lifted higher. What is God's purpose in the earth? What is he bringing about? What is he wanting to do?
Now, I know you brought a song with you that's a beautiful arrangement. I've never heard this artist before. I've never heard this selection before. Misty Edwards, I guess she's affiliated with the International House of Prayer. But as I previewed it, and I said, oh, it's a winner. Tell us a little about the song. When the song is over, we'll talk about God's model for revival through prayer, and then the specific event, the National Day of Prayer event that's going to be happening in Urbana.
Yeah, this is an excellent song, Mark, and I think the truth of it is that she's singing, "Lord, you have my heart." Mm. And this is a full surrender of our heart to God's purposes, and this is really the key in our effective prayer to God and seeing revival come in our country, is that God recaptures the heart of his people, of his church, and he is in the midst of doing that. He's bringing awakening first to his church, and then he'll bring it to a nation.
So here is Misty Edwards.
I want to play the strings of your heart, God. Come play the strings of mine. I want to sing straight to your heart, God. Come sing straight. You have my heart, Lord. You have my heart, Lord. You have my
I absolutely love her voice, and I'm going to have to borrow the CD from you or somehow get a hold of this Misty Edwards, because what a beautiful, sweet message and song and her voice. I love the lyrics, and I'll include that in our playlist. Well, I know you have a lot more that you want to share about prayer and God's model for prayer and how he uses it as a catalyst, if you will, for revival. So talk a little more about that and then the event that you're a part of this Thursday.
Okay. In looking at God's model for revival, we just have to go to the scriptures and see how he's worked with the nation of Israel. First of all, there has to be a groaning inside that arises from his people to be released from captivity. And we have to realize that we actually have fallen and that we are in captivity. We're not in a place where we should be with him. And this is the first step. And Israel did this when they were carried into captivity in Babylon. And Psalm 137:1, it says, "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion." And we have to come to that place where we see how we've fallen short and how God's kingdom and his glory needs to be remembered and sought after again. And then we have to realize that prayer is what's going to bring us back to him. There has to be a burden that grows for his ways, and God has to show us the way back to him. And Nehemiah said that, "When I heard these things, I sat down and wept for some days. I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." And he was just told about how Jerusalem had been torn down and how its gates had been burned. And Jerusalem is a symbol of God's people and his fullness in his people and what he wants to do in coming and dwelling in our midst, that intimacy that he has with us. And he had seen how it was broken down and how it needed to be restored. And then repentance comes when that happens. And Nehemiah said in Nehemiah 1:6, he said, "Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant that he's praying before you this day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly toward you. We have not obeyed the commandments, decrees, and laws that you gave your servant Moses." And so there's a repentance that has to occur. It's a heartfelt repentance that God wants to bring about in his people. And the church in America, we are very in need of this qualifying point of repentance and realizing that we need to return.
Well, Bill, we're almost out of time. In our closing minute, can you summarize what's going to happen this Thursday or how people can get involved?
Well, this Thursday we're going to be meeting at the Hope Center. I like the name of that because in God there is all hope. We're going to be meeting on Thursday from noon till 1:30 at the Hope Center, 1802 North Lincoln Avenue in Urbana. And you can come and go as you are able to during the lunch hour, and just come and join your prayers with those of others. And agree for God to do great things in awakening his church, first of all, and then awakening the nation to him, bringing about revival, because that is the hope of our nation.
Is there a phone number for more information?
A good phone number would be my cell phone, 369-4303.
And that's area code 217?
217-369-4303 would be that number. And then the website is www.nationaldayofprayer.org, and you can go there and find out a lot of information on it as well.
Okay, and again, that's an event that will coincide with the National Day of Prayer. That's this Thursday at the Hope Center, 1802 North Lincoln Avenue in Urbana, from noon to 1:30. And I know other churches have some evening services, so there will be a time of worship and prayer of gathering through that hour and a half from noon to 1:30 this Thursday.
Right. We're trying to make it very flexible for people to come and go and join their prayers.
All right, everyone, this Thursday, the National Day of Prayer, but don't wait till Thursday. Prayer can be practiced even at this very moment. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.